Hi, I'm Dr. Howard Rankin, and welcome to The Miracle Within You, the show at the intersection of psychology, medicine, and spirituality that considers how the mind and body interact with each other to influence health and healing. With years of experience as a practicing psychologist in the health and wellness fields, and as a writer covering amazing stories of healing, I will explore with my guests how numerous factors influence our lives and our health. Thank you for listening. Welcome to The Miracle Within You. I'm Dr. Howard Rankin, and today I am delighted to have with me J.K. Imezi. He is amazing. He is the founder of a wonderful support group for people in pornography recovery, called Elevated Recovery. We'll surely talk about that. And the elements of his program that really allow people to achieve the miracle of the escape from addiction. JK, wonderful to have you with us on the program. Perhaps tell people a little bit about your trajectory of how you got into this.
Thank you, Howard. It is my honor to be doing this. I think this is way overdue.
Yes.
Howard is one of our partners in the program, runs his own group coaching session, and is a mentor in his own right. I run a company called Elevated Recovery, and our flagship program is called the Porn Reboot Program. And we work with men who struggle with sexual compulsions, primarily related to pornography and masturbation. You can call it a compulsion, you can call it an addiction. The pain that is felt is similar to everyone. And I did not go to school to be a professional in this area. I fell into it. And I don't know how deep you want me to go, Howard, but I will. I'll talk about some of the things I will share will be in retrospect. I have a story, you know, that I tell new clients, but just for the audience here, because some of you may be dealing with another type of compulsion, or you're just interested in the story and the miracle within the story. I grew up as what's called a latchkey kid in the 90s. I'm 41 years old now. My parents would leave us at home. They were medical professionals, always on call. And I was the oldest of three, two younger sisters. And we were told not to let anyone in. And I had just discovered pornography and masturbation. And it was on the VHS tapes back in the day. And we had an older neighbor next door. I had to be about 13 years old or 14, and he was 17 or 16. And I looked up to him. You know, he was getting muscles. Puberty had hit. And one day he came over to my window because the door was locked during a weekend. He says, "Hey, I got something to show you." I broke the rule and I let him in, but I was a teenager, so whatever. That was as bad as I was going to get. And he showed me pornography, and we watched it. At first, I thought it was weird to sit and watch porn with somebody else. I was Catholic and raised that way. But before I knew it, he asked if he's like, "Hey, I can't watch this at my home because there's a lot of family there. Can I just leave the tape with you and just come over and watch whenever?" And I was like, "Sure." But all I wanted to do was just masturbate to that alone. And so he left. This continued for a few months until one day, one of my little sisters, they had to be about 9 or and 12 around that time, the 12-year-old put a note under my door. And I know I was watching porn when that happened. I heard somebody by the door, so I was hyper alert. I went, I saw the note, and it opened it. And she said, "JK, when your friend leaves the house after hanging out with you, could you please walk out with him? Because when he comes over in the evening, he sometimes comes to our room when you let him out and does stuff to us."
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
I know. And this was, this became a trauma for me. I was shocked because I would let him let himself out. And my job, as I believed, was to protect my sisters. And the reason I'm sharing this with you, Howard, as shocking as that was to me, I've only found out in the last few years, even as a professional, that that is where all of this came from. I built Porn Reboots as a response to the pain, the betrayal, all those emotions that happened so many years ago when I read that letter and my world fell apart. My innocence was gone. I thought that I, if anything bad happened, I thought it would happen to me. I thought my dad would find out. I didn't know that anything was going to happen to my sisters. It was so far away. And it's a whole other story what happened after that. But that event, that changed the trajectory of my sisters' lives. And I watched over the years as they dealt with their trauma, as they dealt with things that people who've been sexually abused in a place that was supposed to be safe while their brother was in the next room. I watched that. Fast forward a few years later, I'm fully addicted to pornography. I am using it to cope with everything that happens to a teenager. Breakups, acne, not developing as fast as other boys. And then I get to college and I realize something is terribly wrong when I'm unable to have conversations with women. I get angry at my inability to communicate, and I also recently got diagnosed with ADHD. So Howard, you're catching me at a good time where I'm getting to that point in midlife where more is being revealed, where you thought you knew it all, and suddenly you're like, wow. Wasn't good at math. I was told I was slow, told not to go to college, just told my parents, said, why don't you just go to a vocational school and take up a trade? Because you're not like your sisters, you're not smart. Now my self-esteem is in the dumps. I'm in my 20s, and I'm just going to pornography. Eventually, it escalates. I'm frustrated that my roommates seem to be having sex. So I start going online looking for anonymous sexual encounters. Back then, there was Craigslist, there was the anonymous encounters. I would watch pornography, I would drink, have a few drinks, I would go on, I would try to meet people. And I continued to do this till one day I summoned enough courage. To probably about 2 a.m., Wichita, Kansas, winter, and a woman emails me, woman in quotes, and says, she responds, she says, I'm babysitting right now, and I'm available to have sex with you. You look attractive, and I'm sending my picture out there into the internet. So I jump into my car, drunk, high off excitement, and I drive across town. Park behind this suburban neighborhood, a little bit rundown, and she says, wait behind the house, and I'll just let you know when to come in. So I'm there texting her on my, remember, the black my BlackBerry, texting her and saying, I'm here. Where are you? Are you coming out? And she's like, yeah, just turn off your car and just come out. I don't think I can see you. There are lots of cars here. I'm so paranoid and so excited. The only thing that saves me is I keep the car running because I'm just scared. And while I'm sitting there, somebody breaks the window at the side of my car. It's a setup by a bunch of people. And I freak out, hit the accelerator, and I end up driving through the backyard of this house, through like kids' small pools, through the other side. And here's what I remember. I remember driving my car and hearing whatever's broken, the bumper just clicking against the I'm squeezing the steering wheel and I'm repeating to myself, you weren't raised like this. You weren't raised like this. You weren't raised like this. There's so much adrenaline. That was the day that I realized that this was an addiction and a compulsion. That was the day I fully accepted it. And that day I began the journey to figuring out a way to free myself from that. I'll let you lead the conversation, but that is the intense story of how I ended up here.
Not sure I can follow up with that. Thank you for your authenticity, for sharing that. But I suspect it's not that uncommon for, as you have known, as you set up this amazing program, it's not uncommon for many many kids, many boys, to fall into that trap. And we have an industry today that lures them in and takes advantage of it. Just horrendous. But thank you for the story, because I think it will convey to the audience what an experience like many of the people that go through your program, the hundreds, thousands of people who go through your program, they've experienced something like that. They've reached that point of, oh my God, suddenly realizing the impact and the real power it has over them. And that's a terrifying moment. But if you have the right perception, it's also a magical moment. And you turn that really into a miracle, because it sets you out on starting up this amazing program that you have. And tell us, how did you, I mean, you went from here to, I mean, this program is, folks, this guy has got it together. We're going to talk about it, because it is a function of a miracle. You need tools. You need tools. You need support, right? You need understanding. You need acceptance. You need all of those things to recover from any sort of addiction or severe habit. And I'm an expert in that field. And when I came across JK's program a couple of years ago, I was so impressed with it, because it had all of the things that a program like that needs. And that's uncommon. That's uncommon. And yes, he'd based on experience and he's learned a lot since then, but it shows actually that he has the experience, because he created the experience, because he knows what people need, not what the books tell you they need, right?
Absolutely.
And so you started this, when did you actually start Elevated Recovery?
Elevated Recovery actually started originally as a blog in 2012, when I had a different career in that lifetime. I was the director of a door-to-door sales company, accepting the belief that I was slow. I decided to join an internship that was a sales internship, and I started selling Bibles and educational books in the Deep South door-to-door. I ended up doing this for 11 years, but somewhere during that process, I found a forum online where there were thousands of men talking about their pornography addiction. And I had to figure my way out, because back then you would go to a therapist and they would laugh you out of their office. That only needs to happen to a man or a woman once for you to lose hope in that. It takes a tremendous amount of trust and vulnerability. Even in today's culture, it is not normal to seek therapy. Well, now it is normalized, I think, more than it was back in the early 2000s. And so I saw, first, it wasn't an opportunity. First, it was shock. And then the timing was perfect. I was seeking more freedom from the door-to-door grind. I realized that I was good at it, but I had to work very, very hard at it. And I realized that I had a system of that I used to get out of this, and there was so much in common. The pain, it seemed as if my entire life was characterized by pain and eventual suffering, because I did not understand how to deal with pain. And even till today, Howard, every time I see pain, we actually don't even work with men that we can't feel their pain. If you show up on a call and we can't feel your pain, we can't bring you in. And it doesn't mean we want you to be desperate. We just want to see the pain, because when I can see your pain and feel it and know that it's there, I can understand how to help you get out of suffering. And getting out of suffering is a realization that you have to learn how to accept your pain of whatever you're dealing with. So I saw this, and I started responding in the forum. And before I knew it, people liked what I had to say. I became that weird username in there that everybody was waiting. They're like, well, you know, like porn reboot. I don't even remember what my name was back then. I think it was Chris something. He knows his stuff. He writes these long essays on this. Every evening I would come back from selling door to door and I would respond to these guys. I eventually started a blog, started writing articles anonymously, and it grew. And when the time came for me to switch out careers, I had many other offers in the sales world, but I decided to pull the trigger and go into this. So it really started out as a blog with like an ebook. I was trying to figure out the marketing thing, made many mistakes. It came across as very shady sometimes because I'll see an ad and click on it and something like affiliate marketing. And I was like, well, I'm trying to make a living from this.
Right.
Nothing worked until I made the decision to actually focus on the men and focus on the skill set I had that, and the feelings I had that would help. And I realized, even though I didn't want to initially, and I resisted it, that I had an ability to help men in crises. In fact, till today on my wall, there's something here that I learned from this whole process. It says, my giftedness zone, what I should do every day. And I read, I have the ability to genuinely motivate people from different backgrounds in a charismatic way, get them to trust me and read their body language to predict their response using my social awareness. I naturally get people to see my point of view, even if my point of view is different from theirs.
Absolutely.
And I nailed this, and I decided that I was going to take this gift and help men in crises. The moment I started serving from that internal compass, and I started doing so backed by compassion, which means a sympathetic feeling of somebody else's pain, everything blew up. The podcasts I would put out, the emails I would put out would get raving responses where people would say, dude, I look forward to your emails. I want to read your emails. I want to hear your voice. I feel like you understand my pain. You're not some guy trying to get money from me. And so I was like, I think I'm just going to stick with this. And I did.
Yes.
And the reason the system works is very simple. It's because there's a saying, I don't know, I think it's attributed to psychiatrists. I know you are a voracious reader yourself, Howard. If the map doesn't match the terrain, then the map is wrong. And the map for traditional therapy and recovery was wrong. Yeah. So I had to create something different. Yeah. That's how we ended up here.
JK, that's really amazing. I'm talking with JK Maisie about his experiences. We're going to stop very briefly for a short break from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
JK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. JK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to The Miracle Within You. Today I'm talking with JK Maisie, who really has an amazing story about his own experience, which led him into creating a wonderful porn recovery program. And you were telling us about how you got there in this first section. Tell us about how it evolved. I mean, you started writing this, it started to resonate with people, and it just grew. I'm sure you, because it's a large program today. How many people are you serving? I don't know.
I think altogether we probably have 400 clients across all our different programs. That is the intensive, the implementation program. We have a health program called Optimum You. We have a dating program that focuses on learning how to date with prioritizing intimacy first, which is the dating reboot program. We have a mentorship program called 20s Mentor, which I run. We just launched that. And finally, we have a program for coaches who are in the space of sobriety, which is called Seven Figure Sober. Now, we have our first few clients in that, which is teaching individuals to build and scale their coaching business, especially if they are working with clients who are struggling with pain. Those of us who are in the work of healing, who are perhaps a little bit more compassionate, sometimes find it very difficult to market ourselves because it comes in conflict with our values. Yes. We're very sensitive with the way we are being viewed. And sometimes we haven't dealt, I call it dealing with our own ish. We haven't dealt with our own issues around money. And
there are
so many talented. I think I'm charismatic. I think I can, I speak with emphasis, and I'm very aware of how I communicate. But I'm also aware of how to package that in a way to help others. And there are so many more talented healers out there who just don't know how to put themselves out there. So altogether, we've got about 400 clients.
Yeah.
How this program evolved, Howard, was it first started out with, I moved to Utah when I decided to go all in, mainly because Utah was ground zero for pornography addiction. The conservative Mormon religion, and I also knew a few people out there, was also connected with the door-to-door industry that I was in. The LDS church sends out missionaries for their two-year missions. They go door-to-door all over the world to spread the religion. They often come back and they get into the door-to-door industry. It was a very serendipitous connection of two worlds, the door-to-door world and religion, and a state that consumed the most pornography. And I had been invited there after I was leaving my door-to-door career to build up a sales team with a Utah-based company that was a solar company. I decided not to do it, and I stayed in Orem, Utah. I met up with some therapists there, and we sort of lived all together in a home where we came up with this idea for the program. I was the one who was most into it and had the grit to stay all the way. But that was where I learned about rational emotive behavioral therapy. I'm also a consistent insight meditator, specifically Vipassana meditator, and meditation was one of the things that helped me gain the awareness to step away from a lot of my conditioned behaviors. So this program is rooted in a strong foundation of mindfulness and rational emotive behavioral therapy, primarily from Albert Ellis, which in and of itself is already a combination of Stoicism and Buddhist practice, right, if you really go deep into it.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the material is, and the approaches are very rational, very based on awareness. And ultimately, I wanted a program that makes the clients understand that they are the best experts at themselves. The problem I had, and I saw many of these men in the forum struggling with, was that they had given their power to other people. Our conditioning is so strong, and I truly believe that what we call recovery today in the Western world, as helpful as it is almost like a religion that we are unaware of. Therefore, there are many beliefs. And in fact, in many cases, when you look closely, individuals who go into this recovery world actually come out worse and are, they are told, they're given several messages they're given. We don't need to go into that.
Right.
All I did know was that I didn't want that. I wanted men to realize that they had the ability to make a choice. Their future was in their own hands. And once they had moved past some of the more compulsive aspects of their behavior, they would get to a space where they could decide what they were going to do. The beauty of what we have at Porn Reboot, and the thing that honestly, Howard, I'll tell you what the miracle is. Every Wednesday with the intensive clients, I have a session with them. I think I've missed 3 sessions in 9 years or something like that. And we were sitting in the group, and I was looking at these guys and remembering what they were like when they first joined. Some joined 5 years ago, some joined 4 years ago. Everybody, most of them are rebooted. They just stay. And the reason they stay is because all of them in the intensive program realized that pornography was never the problem. It's always a symptom of something else. All of them had come to realize that. And every session we would show up to, we start with a mindfulness check-in. We do our wins and lessons. And always at the end, a theme arises. There is no plan anymore.
Yep.
We stopped having a plan. In fact, somebody said, Orestes, one of our reboot heroes said, we are now in the spiritual arc of the program. But it's just like a storyline. And
yes.
It's to watch a program evolve based on the people who come in, the accountability and the community. My belief over the last few years is that forget the structure of the program. When you come in with the right principles, you bring in the right people, and you allow life to do its thing, it will evolve. It went from being the JK show into whatever came up. This past week, what came up was the realization that many of us in that group, myself included, had weaknesses that we were aware of, but we were not willing to let go of. And by let go of, I said, how many men in here have weaknesses that you are aware of, but you have not accepted that if that weakness on a scale of 1 to 10 was, let's say, hypothetically a 4, that I'm okay with it being a 4 for the rest of my life? And all of us were like, whoa, just like no, not even 1 point. I'm like, no, maybe it might even drop some points.
Right.
That spawned a whole thing that becomes a module in the program.
Yes.
So this has happened over and over again. And it is a beautiful thing, because at the end of the day, when it comes to sexual compulsion with these individuals, we do not define for a client what their reboot is. Every client is required to do something called defining your reboot. And you may have heard some people allude to that. And defining your reboot means, you decide what your sexual life is going to be like. If you have struggled with this behavior for a long time, you have a warped sense of what your sexuality should be. And we live in a world where people tell you, they're like, well, being recovered when it comes to your sexual behavior means being married to one person, having sex, not fantasizing about this. It could be many things.
Mm-hmm.
We are too unique. We are too miraculous. We are too amazing to be put into these boxes. And I don't care if you stop watching pornography compulsively, but if your life becomes black and white because you put yourself into somebody else's definition, I don't think that is recovery.
100% agree with you. What it is really, from my perspective, as I say, I'm a behavior change specialist, work with a lot of organizations. It is remarkable. It is what is the difference in your program. There is no question about it. I can't tell you how much satisfaction and joy I get running some of those groups. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Because you can feel the energy, you can feel the commitment to making better, whatever that is for them. And it's really remarkable. It really is. And the components you put in, everything in there is and really most of all, the approach that you've just identified is exactly what is needed to help people change a behavior, because it isn't just a behavior, as you rightly say. You know, it isn't just you're an alcoholic or you're a drug user or a porn user or a gambler, right?
Yeah.
There's a much bigger context there, which is you. And that is what you allow people to discover about themselves and then make that change. Really, really amazing. Okay, we'll take another quick short break and we'll be back for the last section as we talk more with JK and Maisie about elevated recovery. We'll be right back.
JK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. JK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to The Miracle Within You. Today I'm talking with J.K. Amezi about his experiences that led him to create an amazing program called Elevated Recovery for porn addicts. And as you've heard, his approach is remarkable. It is not shrouded in bureaucracy and tons of rules. It is really about authenticity. That's what it's about. And it's about people finding themselves and who they really are. And the pornography is part of it, but it's not the whole story, right? So, you know, it's such a complex program. We could spend another hour describing all the different components of it, and you've mentioned that. But you have so many great tools in there. You provide books, you provide groups, you provide information on things like breaking the cycle, atomic habits, how to change habits, how people understand what to do, then things like feeling exercises, breathing meditation, with a guide to help people navigate their journey through this in finding themselves, because that's really what you have done. So, as I say, remarkable job. And I know it has led to miracles for a lot of the guys. I mean, you know, we have people in there who are 20 and we have people in there who are 65, right? Just fascinating. Just fascinating to see the trajectory. So how do people get into the program? How do they know about the program, et cetera?
I'm a very big believer in sharing your story. And one of the reasons why we have thrived in spite of the economy or whatever is happening socially is because I make sure that not just myself, but everybody who, from you, Howard, to our different coaches, everybody who comes in is willing and able to just share their truth. I always tell stories. We found that just being on Google is not enough. You can Google us. You can find us. Just search for elevatedrecovery.org. Look for the porn, Google porn reboots. But we really prefer that you connect with our material. Listen to the podcast. Listen to the stories, the testimonials. Go to our YouTube channel and we've got about 134,000 subscribers now, and watch the testimonial videos and see that and understand these are individuals who would never show their faces, who came with shame. There's no other sex and porn addiction recovery company that has as many video testimonials. And I'm not saying this to brag. I'm bragging on the vulnerability that we have enabled in individuals, right? So my suggestion is find us on a podcast, the Porn Reboot podcast. Check us out and listen. And you'll know when you're ready. We never coerce anybody to join. We screen the individuals who come in. Our process, just so you're aware, is very simple. It's when you come into the program, we help you identify the habits that need to be built up in your life. And we keep it simple. We help you identify habits that have to be non-negotiables, which are done as often as possible. We teach you how to begin to forgive yourself. When you deal with a behavior like this, there's so much shame. You've beaten yourself up for so long. And you have to learn how to be kind to yourself first. And that is actually the thing that will get in the way of you building these habits, is the harsh view you have towards yourself, the self-loathing you have developed from years and years of telling yourself, I'm going to stop, I promise myself, making bargains with yourself and with God. The person who comes in is a person who is running away from pain. And we will turn you at some point in the program from a person who is running away from pain, who's now moving in the same direction, but this time it's the same road, but you're moving towards a greater future. And when that shift happens to you, you are in what we call the middle stage of your reboots. At this point, you're working on establishing this as a lifestyle. And while a lifestyle is wonderful, if we looked at something like a 12-step program, that is a lifestyle program. Why? Because you must live that lifestyle, right? You must show up to the meetings. You must have a sponsor. But lifestyles change. We lose spouses. We move to different places. We have spiritual experiences that change our paradigm and view of the world. We suffer from disease and illness. We age. We just grow tired of things. We question our philosophy, and then your lifestyle changes. So what is it that has to change finally? The final part is your self-image or your identity. The way you view yourself has to change. That is where you let go of everything that made you who you think you are. And at that point of identity change, when examining the ego, it will be your entrance into, call it a spiritual world or otherwise, I'm not religious. But what we have noticed is when people get to the identity change part, the level of awareness you would have developed as a man who is rebooting will lead you down that path. I think an ideal program for helping people how to get out of compulsions should be a conduit to the divine or the spiritual. And I don't mean to get woo-woo or anything.
No, like not that. At all.
This has been my experience. No, my that's right. Addiction.
That's right. That's right.
Led me to examine my ego. And I think if you are listening to this and you're like, well, I have an addictive behavior, I had the stigma, the struggle, will it ever go? What if that is your unique struggle, your way of finding God, finding meaning, finding where you are here? It is through the suffering I have found that we find this. So perhaps consider embracing the suffering, the conundrum of your repeated relapses over decades, and see what happens when that shift happens. Because if you are a part of our program, that shift will happen for you to reboot.
Yes, yeah, brilliantly stated and absolutely 100% correct. That movement to authenticity, to all of the things that you're talking about, are really central. And interestingly, you look at some of the people who work on vibrational frequencies. I have a great table of consciousness written by Professor Dawkins, who's really Dawkins. Into this.
Yes.
And it's really amazing. The highest vibrational frequencies, love, compassion, forgiveness, grace, right at the bottom, what is the worst one? Shame. And then fear and anger and all of that. And so when you're elevating yourself into these things, you are moving. That is, whether you want to call it spiritual or not, when you are moving to a life of, whether you identify that way or not, but a life of values, of authenticity, and you have received the love and respect from others, and now you can do for other people. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. That's the transformation. And it's not just, oh, well, I don't use porn anymore. Oh, I don't drink anymore. I don't do this anymore. Well, yeah, kind of functional, but that is not a transformation.
Absolutely.
That is not a transformation. And so, you know, again, I enjoy so much working with you in this organization because that is what comes across at every meeting. Every meeting, that's what it's about. That, you know, and where do you find that? You don't find that often. You do find it in genuine, legitimate support groups sometimes, if they are run properly. Sometimes it's just a whine, moan, groan session. So that's
it means a lot coming from you, Howard, with your depth of experience. I think one of the things is you mentioned something about not having rules and bureaucracy. I think it's also important to, instead of having too many rules, we have rules for some of the human components of this, but we find that when human beings are reminded of values instead, you don't need a rule when there is a value. So for instance, we have one which is everything with compassion. Let's say for the Elevated Recovery team, because it's one thing to talk about the clients, but this is not, I built the structure, but everything that exists now is not thanks to me. It is thanks to the team. It is thanks to coaches like you. It is thanks to the client success, who we call our reboot heroes. It's thanks to the people on the back end who receive emails from people who are triggered or upset. And instead of a rule of like, if somebody sends an email when they are distraught or going through some sort of crisis, instead of being reactive or bureaucratic or putting them into a box, our internal value is everything with compassion. So immediately an emotion comes up, you check in and go like, what is the compassionate thing to do? Even that thing we talked about a client, the discussion and the decision I made as to the time that was spent that we spoke about, Howard and I were having a conversation. The reason I made that decision was, what is the compassionate thing to do in this situation? Instead of what's a rule? We should make a rule around that. No, it's just like the compassionate thing that comes out is this, and we made that decision. So values, I think, over rules. And it may be rough at the beginning for people who have never had or had to talk about their values. But the moment they do, you've done them a favor, because now they're in a community where they are propagating the values. They don't tell somebody new to the group the rule. They express the value. They look, other people in the Zoom room will look around and they're like, oh, that's how we do things here. Oh, we listen. Oh, we are not reactive. Okay, well, I guess I'll try to do that. And then the community becomes a self-managing community. And that, Howard, is the secret to our success. It is having a self-managing community based on those values.
Yes, no question. That comes out in every group where people speak up and tells their story authentically, and they know without fear, and so that's why they can do it, that they're talking to people who will be understanding, have been through similar things, and can relate to them. And that's what it's about, folks. You know, trying to be your best is being able to be authentic, find those values, live by those values. Really interesting. You know, for one of your groups, I created a DOPA menu, a menu of dopamine type activities that you can do.
I need to check that out. I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
So, that sounds so cool.
Yeah, yeah. So what are the things that you can do that give you dopamine, you know, that you don't have to.
Okay, okay.
You know. And so, you know, exercise is obviously one, but one of the biggest things actually is being supportive to somebody and seeing what a difference it makes to them. Being in an authentic conversation where you really feel connected, and especially if you are guiding people in the right direction. You know, you think about that. That gives you so much satisfaction. An example I came across.
That's I'm taking notes right now as you're talking, because I think I want to say this, Howard. I think that I'm always excited about our conversations. We have them too rarely, I would say.
I agree.
But, it's there's always something that's sparked in my head, and I always wondered, what is it that gets me so excited about talking about this or working with the clients, or maybe gets you and the other coaches? And I think it's when you have a community where people are willing to learn and connected, and you see their wins. It's a dopamine, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not too deep on the science. Mm-hmm. It's an anticipation of something. So you see the win coming, you know, there's going to be a win coming, you're supporting this person, and it keeps you going. And I think I'm so glad you said that, Howard, because you're right. I think what's happening is it's a beautiful way of having community rewire man's brain towards using dopamine in a way that has been hijacked by pornography. This is a good one. I'm actually going to use that one. I'm going to expand on that.
Yeah, that's good. And an example that perhaps the listeners could relate to is, let's imagine it's Christmas time and the gifts are all around and you're with all your family members. What would you get more satisfaction out of? Getting a gift from somebody that you wanted, or seeing somebody open a gift you gave them and seeing how excited they are? And for most people, it's the latter, right? When you help people, when you support them, when you love them, and you see it makes a difference, well, not only do you get dopamine. But you get a tremendous satisfaction from doing that.
So good.
And that's honestly how I feel about elevated recovery. So, folks, elevatedrecovery.org, right? For people who.
ElevatedRecovery.org. My name is the initials JK and the last name is EMEZI. You can Google me. You can find me on every major platform. And Dr. Rankin is one of the coaches. Took me many, many years to find a coach that I aligned with. And the moment I spoke with him, everything just clicked. I don't think we've even had to, we rarely have meetings, like I said. It just works. There's no bureaucracy. It's just
That's
show
right.
up and do the magic, and it's worked for years.
Yeah.
So I think it's such a cool thing what we do and how this kind of works seamlessly with no friction whatsoever. It's a beautiful thing. Such an honor to have you, and I'm very thankful to be on this podcast.
Well, I'm also honored to be part of your program. And you have a lot of employees too. Yeah, we're talking about a full
I'm
team of people.
30 something right now.
Yeah,
It's
though
yeah.
to review, people's requests, take
Yeah.
calls, all of that, and organize it. Well, JK, always, as you rightly say, we should do this more often, whether it's on a radio show or not. But
Yes.
thank you so much. A wonderful show. I appreciate it. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Miracle Within You. Join me next time when I continue to explore the power of the mind-body and how it can be employed to enhance health and healing.